Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Shy and sheltered as a child, Matt Van Dyke decided to take a crash course in manhood. He traveled 35,000 miles through the Middle East on a motorcycle, recording hundreds of hours of footage on a helmet-mounted camera. Once safely back in Baltimore, television reports of the Arab Spring and the brutal crackdown of protesters in Libya stirred him to an impulsive decision. He was going to join the rebellion in Libya. Matt Van Dyke's transformation from adrift thrill seeker to a somewhat reckless revolutionary is all captured on his own camera. That footage and interviews with Matt and his girlfriend are at the center of Point and Shoot. It's a film by two-time Academy Award-nominated documentary filmmaker Marshall Curry, and it's making its television debut on POV on August 24th. Marshall Curry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this kid from Baltimore, Matt Van Dyke, he sets off to join the rebels. What did you learn about him that would even make that a plausible goal for him?
Well, I got an email from him one day out of the blue. I'd never heard of Matt and I didn't know anything about his story. And he said, I've returned from Libya where I was fighting on the side of the rebels. I'm a young guy from Baltimore. And I have footage of it, and I have footage of this amazing backstory that led up to that. And so, you know, I get a lot of emails from people pitching stories, but there was something intriguing, particularly intriguing about that one. So I said, well, why don't you come to New York and tell me the story? And he came and met with my wife, who's a producer on the film with me, and he told me the story. And the arc of it was just amazing. And the story, on its face, it's just a thrilling adventure story. And then once I started digging deeper, I realized that it had all sorts of interesting kind of layers and comments about war and filmmaking and the way that we live with cell phone cameras today.
And his backstory is so interesting. He's kind of a only child, center of his family's universe, mostly friendless growing up. And he says he sometimes spent 12 hours a day playing video games. And he gets a master's at Georgetown in Middle Eastern concentration. In the film, we also learn that he's been diagnosed with OCD. Now, how does that show up for him?
Well, It takes a lot of forms. And when we say OCD, I sometimes think, oh, I'm OCD because I like to keep my desk neat. His OCD is a different beast altogether. So he's afraid of sugar touching him. If it touches him, he feels like he's been contaminated. He doesn't want to be around trash cans. They make him really anxious. And as he explains, he can't drive a car even because if he hits a bump, 20 minutes down the road, he'll start thinking, I wonder if I hit somebody in the car. And he won't be able to get this thought out of his head, so he'll have to turn around and drive back. So there is it's a really severe anxiety that I think made him reluctant to get out and to experience a lot of life. And as he had as soon as he finished grad school, I think he felt like he had not really done anything significant with his life. And he had always had these dreams. He'd watched action movies and he'd played video games and had dreams of adventure. And yet his life, as you mentioned, had been very sheltered. And so he said to me, I decided to take a crash course in manhood. Hmm. And he bought a camera and a motorcycle. And he set off on this motorcycle trip through northern Africa and the Middle East.
So despite his terror of the world in some way, he sets out to kind of conquer it, makes his way to Baghdad in Iraq, where he actually gets paid by the Baltimore Examiner to be, as he put it, an embedded journalist in Baghdad. Let's play just a clip of the film. This is some footage that he takes of soldiers there who he said wanted to be seen acting like soldiers.
Yo, make sure you get the picture of me kicking the door. Go.
Serious? You're supposed to be doing this.
Let's go.
Oh my God. So,
I don't want to kick it.
So stupid.
Yeah, open.
Kick that.
All right, now take a picture of this. Hold on.
Of what? What are you going to do? Go clear it first. Go clear it. Seriously. Go.
So these are soldiers basically stage managing, you know, how he gets them on film. And this is one of the big themes in the film, you know, the question of how things look. What they appear to be on film versus what they are in reality. And this was also happening for Matt. He was acting the part of a journalist in a way. What was the difference between the two, the Matt Van Dyke on camera and in reality, as far as you can tell?
Right. Well, when he first decided to set off on this trip, it wasn't just to go on a motorcycle expedition. It was to film himself on a motorcycle expedition. That was always a big part of this process for him. So he was going to be kind of the star of this reality action adventure documentary that he was going to make. What he explains is that he would kind of project this image on camera of this tough guy, this brave guy that was different from how he actually felt. I mean, when he was living this sheltered life before he set off. And then, you know, in the old fake it till you make it, he said he started to grow into the character that he was playing and projecting on camera. And as you mentioned, this is something that the movie looks at a lot, and it was something that surprised me as I started looking through the footage, is we see American soldiers wanting to come off in the middle of a raid looking like the Hollywood version of an American soldier doing a raid, even though they actually were American soldiers doing a raid. There's some really kind of interesting meta layers to it. But it wasn't just the American soldiers asking him to film them as they pretend to kick in the door. It was also the Libyan soldiers. When he joins the rebellion, we see Libyan rebels who are in the middle of an incredibly important struggle against a dictator. Hundreds of them filming each other and having themselves filmed shooting these guns because, in addition to wanting to be in this rebellion, they wanted to be seen in this rebellion, and they wanted to have selfies that they could put up on Facebook and images, videos that they could send to their friends. And that question of how we struggle with authenticity as we are documenting our lives is one that really intrigued me as I looked through his footage.
Matt Van Dyke tells you he felt like he was on the wrong side of the camera. I didn't want to be just a documentarian. I wanted to be shaping events. So you're a documentary filmmaker. How did you
just
feel?
Just a documentary filmmaker.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I take his point. I mean, I think he decided when he was filming that rather than being a filmmaker, he wanted to be the subject. He wanted to be the one doing the actions that someone else was observing. So soon after returning on this motorcycle trip, as you mentioned, the Arab Spring starts off and he gets word from some of his friends that he had met that they are getting involved in the rebellion against Gaddafi. And he just decides on almost the spur of the moment to buy a ticket and go and join up the next day.
Yeah, it sort of suggests a lack of impulse control, you know, perhaps one of the ways that, you know, his OCD is manifesting for him. And he does go, and he is, I mean, it really is exhilarating watching this footage of him, you know, as they're negotiating arms deals, as they are, you know, looking through piles of metal for perhaps a discarded gun. And he gets hurt in a government raid on Al Brega, wakes up in prison, to the sound of a man being tortured in the next room. And they start interrogating him and playing the video he'd taken the day before. So his medium, his video, is being used against him. It's such an interesting twist.
Right, right. And he goes ahead, he spends 5.5 months in that prison in a, you know, horrible 7-foot by 4-foot cell. And really has to reflect on some of the decisions he's made. One of the questions of the film is how should we live our lives? There is an element of what he does that brings some critics and some, you know, people at films to stand up and say, I think that you are, you know, a noble and selfless person who has risked your life to help others. And then there are other people at screenings that have watched the very same film who stand up and say, I think this was, you know, reckless and delusional and you had no business doing what you were doing. And as a filmmaker, I sort of love that his story can be interpreted different ways by different people.
We're talking with Marshall Curry. He is the filmmaker behind Point and Shoot. It's making its debut on POV, the PBS documentary series, on August the 24th.
Well, let's hear a little bit of footage from the film of him actually taking fire, and he falls out of the Jeep, and he doesn't have his gun with him. Let's hear.
Go, 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 go. And I basically fell out of the Jeep.
It's okay.
My gun's in the truck.
Huh?
My gun's in the Jeep.
All he has with him is his camera. There's this kind of dual role that he has. You know, he's a fighter and he's a documentarian. Mm-hmm. But it also brings to mind, you know, how the camera has become a kind of weapon of war. How did you watch that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, the first time he told me that story of falling out of the Jeep, he summed it up and said, you know, I just had this moment where I'm standing there in the middle of a gunfight with my camera, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Am I a fighter or am I a filmmaker? And what I loved about that line and that situation was that it's actually an extreme version of something that's become very universal. You know, I go to the beach, and I find myself sometimes not enjoying my vacation, but looking for photo ops of myself enjoying my vacation that then I can post on Facebook. And this challenge of trying to be present in a situation and be an authentic person while at the same time documenting our experiences and capturing them to share with the public have become really universals. And he's just an extreme version of that in an extreme situation.
Well, I understand, you know, what people, the questions that people ask him at screenings about, you know, what he was doing. Was he being, you know, transforming and taking on a mission or being delusional? But I have to admit, watching the footage, it is unbelievable. I mean, when we realize that this is not a Hollywood film, that this is somebody actually in action, in a war scene, I mean, it does reveal so much.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of footage of wars that we see on the news, but the time that he spent in that world gave him a level of access that I think was pretty unusual. And there's a glamour to it and an excitement and a Hollywood thrill to it that lets us understand what draws, you know, young people to go and get involved in these wars, whether it's on the side of ISIS or fighting ISIS. And then there's also a very serious side to it, which the film looks at a little bit as well, which is, you know, the real suffering that real people feel even in the midst of a war that's being so photographed and filmed and kind of turned into a production. How do we balance the theatrics of a movie about war with the real recognition that people are suffering in a not Hollywood way, in a real way.
I was wondering what it was like for you as a filmmaker. You know, you were working mostly with another person's footage, you know, hundreds of hours worth. Mm. What was that process like for you? You're basically looking at the world through another person's eyes and making it into your film.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he first approached me, I explained to him that the only way that I would work on the film is if I had 100% creative control and independence of it. So he agreed to that. And the process of making the film was really, I spent a couple of days with him interviewing him. And then I took that interview back to New York and just started wading through all of his footage. And in some ways, working with somebody else's footage is a big challenge because when I'm shooting a film, I'm editing it in my head. I know the kinds of things that I'm interested in. I'm shooting it in a particular way with wide shots and close-ups and cutaway shots and all of the pieces that I know I'm going to need when I sit down to edit. And Matt was shooting in a different way, let's just say that, than I would have done it. But that said, I also was very happy, and my wife and kids were too, that I didn't have to go over to Libya to shoot it. So I couldn't complain too much as I sat in my edit suite in Brooklyn and worked on his footage.
You talked to Matt Van Dyke in his apartment, I'm presuming, in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, you know, does he seem restless? Does this guy who had become kind of an adventure junkie, do you think he's wondering what the next kind of mission is going to be?
Well, he's actually off on his next mission. So he has recently been working on a project in the Middle East, again, working with Christians in Iraq trying to fight against ISIS. So he's been spending a lot of time back there again.
Wow, what a story. Marshall Curry, I want to thank you for speaking with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Marshall Curry is a 2-time Academy Award nominated filmmaker, and his newest film is called Point and Shoot. It's making its television debut on POV, that's the PBS series, on August 24th. You can see a trailer from the film and check local listings at wordofmouthradio.org.